Thank you so much. It's amazing how much different the view is up here. We've got those people from the back up front now, and it looks wholly different now. But it's a pleasant sight, and I'm sure it's going to work for us. My name is Brian. I'm an elder here, one of the elders that was referred to earlier, who's been studying the topic that we're discussing this afternoon for, like, it's been 2 years. It's been over 2 years. It was September of 2006 that we had a subcommittee or a subgroup look at this. And I know I picked up on something Rob was talking about when he was up here earlier and how it can be messy, just like being in a family. And I was reflecting while he was talking about my family, the family I grew up with, not the one I currently have, but the one I grew up with my three sisters. And being the only boy with three sisters, you can imagine I got along with them quite well. And there was never any trouble. Actually, we fought like cats and dogs, and they always scratched. Girls like to scratch. And the other problem with being the only boy with three sisters is no matter what happened or what started or what the result was or how badly beat up I got, they were always right. I was always wrong. It was always my fault. So I learned that early in life, you know, don't get in those scraps. But it wasn't always about fighting with my sisters. Once in a while, I remember one time one of my sisters was being picked on by a bully at the bus stop. Boy, you never saw me jump to my sister's aid as quickly. And I got all defensive, and there I was for her. And there was nothing you could have done to keep me from stepping in between her and that bully. And I remember good times with our family as well in the summer where we had a old wood ice cream maker, and it had a crank on top. But our crank ice cream maker didn't have, one of the little pegs was broken, so we had to hold one hand on top, and we'd take turns cranking this ice cream. We'd work as a team, as a family, to try to get this ice cream finished because you have to crank it for a long time. And you could only go maybe when we were younger, maybe 5-10 minutes at a time, and you'd have to tag your sister or somebody else in the family. They'd come up and they'd work the ice cream maker for us. But the result was always really tasty ice cream. So, and then I thought of something else that I brought. I found something on the internet when we first started studying this difficult topic. And it was an article called about a family called the Tates. So if you'll indulge me, I'll read this to you. Some families make church their home. Others find other uses for the church. Take the notorious Tate family, for example. Perhaps you've met some of them. The chief of the clan is old Dick Tate. He insists on running everything in church. His brother, Ro Tate, wants to change everything. Aunt Aggie Tate has a knack for stirring up trouble, and her husband, Irritate, always lends a hand. The next generation of Tates has its own characteristics. Hesitate and his wife, Veggie Tate, would just as soon wait until next year whenever a new project is suggested. Aunt Imitate would love to create the first generic church. Devastate announces constantly the church is doomed, while her husband, Potentate, promises he can lead the church out of trouble. On a more serious note, before we pray to start this time together, I'm going to read from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4. There's some one another's in here. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word, which is powerful and true and is given to us to guide us and direct us. And we humbly acknowledge that we need to obey your word. And in this respect, we come to you now and we work humbly to identify what it is that we need to do to become a local church, which places your word as an important part of our lives. And we acknowledge that we need to, in obedience, identify with one another this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Does this work? A little bit? No? There it is. Okay. If you would turn to Romans chapter 12 with me, I want to spend just a few minutes this morning just giving you a little bit of application to what Rob shared with us this morning. I want to confess to you, though, that as we get into this, that probably of the elders, the one that was the most hesitant and rebellious about discussing the term membership was yours truly. I think because, as Rob shared this morning, it comes with enormous baggage with me. Because in my past experience, membership seemed to be something that you join, you fill out a card, or you get on a list, and that's the end. And the last thing that we want to do is to say, that's what we want. We don't want anybody to sign up. We don't want anybody to give us their name so that they can sit on a membership list. What we want to do is that we want to understand what God's Word says about being connected to, being committed to, being members of one another. Because until we really grasp that concept, it will be the thought that rolls in our mind that we are becoming something that we just come and sit and we come and watch the show, but we don't connect to or participate in. In Romans chapter 12, it starts with the word therefore. And you have to go back to chapter 11 a little bit to understand what that means. In chapter 11, Paul spends the time talking about how that Israel, unbelieving Israel, has been cut off. They were the chosen people of God. They were the people that God made a covenant with. And because of their unbelief in Jesus Christ, they were cut off. And the benefit of that was others were, Gentiles were, grafted in. You and I, being a believer in Jesus Christ, have now been grafted into the story of God by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, we get to Romans 12, and it says, therefore, and I think the word that Rob used this morning was great because he used the word identify. Therefore, identify yourselves with that community. Let me read it to you, and let me show you what I mean. Chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, how? He urges by the mercies of God. In other words, if it wasn't for His mercy, you would not be grafted in. You would not be a part. I urge you, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, sometimes we want to make that spiritual, that we present our hearts to God. That's not what it says. It says that we are to present our bodies. This is our material, personal, physical bodies. We are to present ourselves to God, living, holy sacrifice, which is your spiritual service of worship. Better translation would be, it is your reasonable, it is your logical, spirit-led service of worship. What is worship? That we present ourselves to one another. That we present ourselves a living sacrifice for each other. Let's go on. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. In other words, do not conform yourself to the logic you've always used. Do not conform yourself to man's wisdom. And frankly, man's wisdom says isolate yourself, protect yourself, don't get involved with anybody else. Do not be conformed anymore to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's God's wisdom, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me just say this. We will never understand what the will of God is. We will never know what His plan is without being connected. Now, why do you think that I've read this many times before. I've studied this many times before. And I've never put these verses together with the fact that we need to be part of the body of Christ. But in context, I think you'll see that that's exactly what it's talking about. Verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, listen to this, you not think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Now, I used to think that that means don't be arrogant, don't be haughty, but what it's talking about in context is that you are not sufficient in yourself. You do not have the wisdom of God without the rest of the family interacting with you. Yes, you have the Word of God, but it is important that we have each other, that we constantly are accountable to each other, studying the Word of God together so that we will not be led astray. Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think is to so as to have what? Sound judgment. As God has allowed each a measure of faith. Think about that term. Each has been given a measure of faith. A measure, is that a complete? No, that's a part. In other words, you and I have been given something. You and I, as brothers in Christ, have been given a measure of faith, which means that without all of the brethren, we are incomplete. Interesting concept, don't you think? The very next verse. For just as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. Do you see the context of this now? In other words, because we are members of one another, because we are a community, because we connect to one another, we know we will begin to discover the true and perfect will of God. We will know what His purpose is for our life. We will know what He wants us to do, and we will gather His wisdom, and we will be holy, as it says in verse 1, because of the accountability of the saints. Let's go on. Verse 6. Since we have gifts... Then he goes on to describe what this being members of one another is. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. As he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The verse in 6, it says, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. How do we identify ourselves as Christians? What identifies us? What does the Bible say? We will know them by their fruit. We will know them by their actions. We will know them by what they do. So what does it say if we are a member of the body of Christ? How do we identify ourselves? Because we are exercising the gifts that God has given us accordingly. And then it goes down the list and says, if this is the gift that's been given to you, exercise it. Identify yourself with the local body. Verse 9 is interesting. Let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, let love be without pretending that it's love. We do a lot of pretending when it comes to church. Let's just be honest with each other. We come in here without. It was very difficult for me to share with you. It'd be very difficult for me to share with you the difficulties that I have during the week, and vice versa. We don't like to share our dark side. We want to put on the nice clothes and bright shirts, and we want to walk in here on Sunday morning, and we want to look like we have our life together. But let me share with you what the Bible says about being connected to one another's. Think of it this way. It is sinners helping sinners. It is not a hierarchy of people that have it all together and those of you who don't, those of us that don't. It is about every one of us having one Redeemer. It is about every one of us having one Savior. He is the head of this church. We are all under this umbrella, as Rob painted the picture this morning, the cross, with all of us underneath that umbrella. And so therefore, we are to love one another in such a way that we reach out to each other without pretending that we're somebody that we're not, and say, I need you and you need me. And yes, I don't care where you are in your walk of faith, we need you. We do. Verse 10. Therefore, I put that in there, but I want to make a point. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent is a word we don't use very much, but let me translate that for you. It is being enthusiastic in spirit, serving the Lord. It is being eager in spirit, serving the Lord. It is being fanatic in spirit, serving the Lord. Think of a church, if you would, that its membership was fanatic about serving God and serving each other. That we would be so excited about getting into each other's lives and being a sinner myself, helping you a sinner and vice versa, understanding what God's Word says so that we can grow in the Lord together, being honest. And I said a few weeks ago, to have a church not of judgmental but of rescue, that we would look to the point where we'd say, the body of Christ is so important that we want every member to grow up and be as mature as God will allow them to be. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoting in prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. That's a very fascinating word. I love that term, practicing hospitality. Let's start here, shall we? If we do nothing else, if we don't know how to do anything else, we almost all of us, or at least one of members of our family, knows how to cook. Have somebody over that you don't know. Get to know their story. Ask them about who they are. Don't ask them where they work. Get beyond the superficial. Ask them about how they came to Christ. Ask them about a verse in the Bible that is most important to them. Talk to them about their struggles. Get to know them in such a way that you can be helpful to them and be honest enough with them that you would do the same in return. Practice hospitality. Verse 15 ends with this, and in 16, I want to just read this one verse to you. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind. That means don't be self-important. Don't be self-important in mind, but associate with the lowly. And I think that that's not necessarily saying that there are people that are lowly in the body of Christ. It's people that you assume are the lowly. That's the people that you say, I don't really want to have anything to do with them. And associate with the lowly. And then the last thing, it goes back to what it said in verse 3, do not be wise in your own estimation. You see, we are incomplete without each other. Remember that. Think about that. We are incomplete without each other.
Look good? Okay. We're recording this, so I want to make sure my microphone was actually on. Thank you, Randy, for sharing that. We had a leadership meeting, what was it? When was that? A month ago?
Yeah, probably.
Or so, and Randy shared that passage with all of us, and I think all of us who were there were really impacted by it, and we thought it would be encouraging to all of you as well. I'm going to cover a little practical part of this meeting. Every family get one of these? Everybody, kind of for the cooks over there. Here, maybe just pass these. Yeah, there we go. You know, most of you know my son, Nolan, got married in June. And it was really fun just to go through that whole process together. I've talked to about weddings and, you know, why we even do a wedding ceremony. You know, Nolan, if you guys have met him, you know he's part of what I call the new group of hippies, you know, that are out there. And those of you, there's only a few that are probably old enough to remember this, but in the 60s, you know, there's this whole thing about weddings and, man, what's with a piece of paper? I don't need a piece of paper to prove my devotion, you know. Remember that whole argument? Well, Nolan kind of brought up that same idea. Why do you have a wedding ceremony? Why do you do wedding vows? Why do you go through that whole process? And so we talked about that, and he wasn't objecting to it. He just was sincerely asking the question. We talked about all that. And one of the things we talked about is what it's like to stand up in front of a group of people and say publicly, to look someone in the eye and say publicly to them, I'm committed to you. And have them look back and say, well, I'm committed to you too. And I explained to them there's something about that dynamic that, you know, intimacy in relationship really only flourishes in that environment of mutual commitment, doesn't it? When I can look at you and I say, you know, we've actually said these words out loud to each other. I'm committed to you. I'm committed to fulfilling those scriptures that Randy just talked about in your life. Obviously, by the grace of God, none of us will ever do it perfectly, but we're committed to do that with God's power working through us. Does that make sense? Do you see kind of the parallel? There's something different that happens when we talk about it out loud. Now, you know, when I talk about this morning in the message about identification, one of the things that you might say to me is point me to a specific scripture that says that everybody signed up on some card or put their name down or somehow was identified in the local church. And I can't do that. There isn't a scripture that says that. But I personally think that because of that principle of identification, that we have freedom as churches to apply that however we need to apply it within our cultural context. If we lived in a Nepali village in northeast India where I frequently worked, and there's 200 people living there and 15 of us were believers, we probably wouldn't need to go through this process, right? We'd all know each other already. There wouldn't be any question who's a part of the church, who isn't, who's committed to. There's only one church in the whole village. And if you're a believer, that's where you go. But we have a very fluid and dynamic culture, you know, right? All change is happening, people coming and going and things like that. And so there seems to be some value in us taking that formal step of identifying ourselves with each other. So we're going to do that, but here's this, if everybody got this handout, what we're going to ask you to do is just take this home, really, right now, that's it, and just read it over, think about the message this morning. We're going to have these next week, we're going to have them the week after, and after we go through this three-week series, after you think about the things that Randy shared this morning, discuss it as a family, pray about it yourselves personally, then after the 19th, we're going to ask you to fill out these cards and turn them in. You can see there's more than one box on there. You can check one or both. And then this will be kind of something that we continue to use as people come into the church after this point. There's one thing I forgot to mention, and Randy mentioned it a little bit already, but I wanted to mention it too. You know, you might say that why this extra step? Why this formal step? I'm already doing those things that you guys are talking about. Can't you just, you know, look at me and say, well, you're already a member of this church. I'm already serving. I'm already doing the one another's. I'm already investing myself in people's life. And I think that's the whole point that Randy was trying to make. Yeah, that is really what membership is. It's not checking this card or filling your name out and things like that. But this is, I think, it will be an important step for all of us to be able to recognize each other and to create that greater sense of intimacy in those relationships. Does that make sense? Am I making sense with all this stuff? Okay. So hold on to this. Read it. Pray about it. We'll be talking more about it in the weeks to come. So what we want to do now is have a time of just a kind of open forum question and answer about this topic specifically. Obviously, if we get to a point where there's no more questions about this particular topic, we can talk about other things, but we thought it would be a good idea for you guys to be able to ask whatever questions you have on what you heard so far. So, Mr. Turner. This is kind of, as Randy said, when we talked this week, this is kind of a work in progress. We're putting things down on paper and then reviewing them, continue to discuss them. As you begin to practically apply this, issues come up that you hadn't maybe even considered previously. So I would say this is probably a beginning of what's going to eventually be in the bylaws as far as the practical part of it, and then the theology behind it, and we're still, it will be kind of what you're hearing in the messages and stuff like that. So yeah, ultimately, there will be a section in the bylaws that talks specifically about this whole idea of membership or identification, affiliation. Did you have something you want to add to that?
Say something. Can I get this one?
Oh, yeah. You know what? For the tape, yeah. Let me repeat the question. Okay. Because this is being recorded for anybody who isn't here. The question was, is there going to be a change to the bylaws, and will we have the opportunity to review that?
One of the things that we want to be very careful of is that we don't create this to be a list of rules. A membership, that's one of the things that I think that takes away from it. In other words, if you are in Christ, if you have given your heart to Jesus Christ, and He is in your life, and you have the Spirit of God, you are members of the body of Christ. You already are. What the purpose of this for is not to create, okay, now that you're that, let me give you a list of rules so you can become a member of this church. That is not what we're talking about. Now, how this all comes about and the idea of identifying with one another is for the purpose of us to know that you are committed to me as I am committed to you. That's our reasoning. So I'm not really sure that there's going to be anything more than a statement like that in the bylaws. We're not even sure what that's going to be yet. So that's a little bit on the unknown side. But the heart of this is that we are committed to, we're connected to one another. That's what we want.
Does that answer your question? Other questions? Either just so startlingly clear or so confusing.
Or clear as
mud. Randy. We kind of have a two-part thing going here, I think. There's a grandfather clause. You know, I'm sorry, restate the question. Yes, the question is, what was the question? No. The question is, most churches have some kind of list of requirements for membership, those kind of things, right? Classes, what's the process going to be?
They explain their doctrine.
Right.
And what they're about, and then the members have to accept that doctrine, or the prospective members have to accept that doctrine.
Yeah, so, okay.
Well, clearly, there is a unification around the Word of God. If we don't come together on that, we can't be connected to one another. So other than that we want to be doctrinally astute or connected with one another, I think that the rest kind of has a tendency to fall into place.
Yeah, if you look at the paper, there's kind of a two-step thing. One is, like I mentioned, a kind of a grandfather clause to say, if you're part of this fellowship already, you consider this to be your church home, then, you know, let's just acknowledge that and all agree together that, you know, in our doctrinal statement, those kind of things, and just move forward. Now, if somebody comes in after this point, we kind of give an opportunity for them basically to let the leadership know, hey, can we sit down together? Can we talk? We want to talk to them about their personal faith in Jesus Christ, about their experience that they had in baptism. Just make sure that they've seen our doctrinal statement and they know, you know, the principles that we have as a church. But yeah, when we talked about before is that someone who has put their faith in Jesus Christ, as Randy just said, is a member of the Universal Church. Now they chose to be in fellowship with this particular. There's not any rule beyond what it means to be in the worldwide body of Christ than there is to be in this local fellowship. It's a step. That step of identification, that doesn't come across as a rule. It's just a way for us to know each other. Does that make sense?
Is a signature of the, you mean on the...
You know, one of the churches that, the question was, do you have to be a member? I guess, do you have to fill your name out on this card in order to participate in the ministry? One of the churches, as I mentioned in our message, we looked to other churches that were farther down the road in this than we are. And one of the kind of statements that we all really, I think we all really identified with, is the qualifications for membership are really basic and simple. You know, you're part of the body of Christ. Now, within the structure of the church, as you are in different areas or different levels, I guess, of leadership or things like that, now the doctrinal requirements, those kind of things, would really become more stringent, right? Somebody who is an elder needs to very much associate or understand or identify with and agree to everything on the doctrinal statement. Somebody who's looking to join the church, there's probably some, there would be some flexibility there. Does that make sense? So I think it depends, like all this to say, it probably depends on what kind of ministry you're talking about. Somebody says, I want to serve in this ministry, and they're not a member of the church, it probably just would open up a conversation. Is there, you know, why is it that you don't want to identify yourself as a member of the church? Let's talk about that. And but I think as you, you know, somebody wants to say, well, you know, I feel like that the Lord is calling me into this position of leadership, but I don't want to be a member of this church. That might be a little more serious conversation. Does that make sense?
Well, let me just say this too. It's not about the card. It's just not about the card. You want to come up to me and say, I love this church, I want to be connected. I probably won't fill out the card, but you probably know I'm already connected with the church, wouldn't you say? The point is that your heart and that you want to present yourself as one of the members of this congregation. If you say, no, I don't want to be a part of anything, but I want to work in the children's ministry, but I don't want to be held accountable. I don't want anybody to get into my life or anything. My question will be, what? Why? You see, so please don't make it about the card. It's about the relationship that we have with one another that we're building.
Yeah. Good question. Yeah, Bob?
I'm kind of struggling with, you know, I know how Randy, you're saying don't make it about the card, and you guys say it's really about the relationship with us, but why are we making it about the card? I know you said, you know, it's your commitment to us.
See, I told you we shouldn't have had the card. Thank you.
Don't feed him fire. Okay, so let me repeat the question for the tape. Basically, Bob is struggling under the biblical mandate to. No, I'm just kidding. No. The question is, if it's not about the card, then why have a card at all? Is that basically your question? Is that if we're trying to talk about the relationship, not about a card at all? Well, you can tell just from the way we're talking about it up here that was probably our number one practical issue that we wrestled with. And you know, there's variations of commitment to public acknowledgement within the elder board. I would say that, and Randy can speak for himself, because he was the one that felt like it was the most risky. I'd say that all of us were willing to take the risk of having the card because of just what I was talking about before. It gives us the opportunity to take that formal step of identifying ourselves to each other in a way maybe that we wouldn't have otherwise. You know, I know that you're committed to me. You know, I've served with you guys. There's no question in my mind that you're committed to this fellowship, and I hope there's no question in your mind that I'm committed to you. But could you say that about everybody else who's here? Do you know them well enough to be able to say that about everybody else here? This gives you guys an opportunity then to say that to each other. Now, could we do it without writing our name on the card? Is there another way to do it? I don't know, maybe. I think it becomes a little more challenging if the more informal it becomes, the little more challenging it becomes just because you don't have the forum to do that. Is that making sense? I said I think the ideal situation would be, I think Nathaniel, if he's here somewhere, he brought this up early on. He said, shouldn't we just already know each other? And I would say, yeah, we should. I should be able to look at everybody who comes here, and I should have I wish I did. I had a full understanding of where you're at as far as your participation in this fellowship and your commitment to me and stuff like that. I think it's, in some ways, it's a little bit of an imperfect solution, but I think it will help us move towards a better solution. Is that, or a better situation? Is that making sense at all? So, I could repeat the question.
The question was, how is this going to make me feel about someone else if I know that they've filled out the card or not filled out the card? Is there going to be a problem with how I treat them and how I'm treated?
You bring the card to church on Sunday and you stick it in your pocket like this. front of the donut line. For people who weren't here.
Yeah. This one thing that you brought up, Bob, is probably my biggest concern, as I've already said before, because it becomes about filling out a card. And let me just say this: the reason that I relented to doing this is because there are some that say, you know what, I don't even know where to start. I don't know how to connect. I don't know that anybody knows me. I haven't had anybody reach out to me. I want desperately to become a part of this, but I don't know how to do that. And I think that is a wonderful tool for them to come up and say, and like I said, don't make it about the card. Come up, shake my hand, and say, I want to be connected to you. Isn't that really what it's all about? When we stand before God and we stand before an audience, when we get married, we look at our spouse and our would-be spouse and we say, I commit myself completely to you. And that is really the same picture that we're doing here. If once again, it's about... Well, let me back up. When I'm a part of the body of Christ, every church I've ever been in, my statement of wanting to be a part is I immediately want to be involved. I want to use my gifts for the glory of God. I want to teach. I want to lead music. I want to do whatever God opened up the door in that church for me to participate in. I became a member because I presented myself to them and says, you can use me however you see fit. There are people that don't know where to start in that process. And how do we draw them in except to say, if you want to do this, let us know. The card is a let us know so that we can involve you. My hope would be, like I said earlier on, is it would become a church of hospitality. That we get to know each other not because we filled out a card, but because we're sitting next to somebody on Sunday morning. We say, come over to my house. Let's go out to lunch. Let's get to know each other. Let's get connected in some way. So it's a flawed system that we just want to know who you are. That's all. Let me just, and I haven't talked to the other elders about this, so I'm going to be just way out there when I make this statement. I don't necessarily see this as an ongoing thing that we sign for to be membership. This is kind of a one-time thing in my mind because it's. I would hope that we would become a church that would be reaching out constantly to new people as we saw them come in. In other words, we would get to know them. We would be hospitable toward them. We would understand their life, and we would be committed to them early on, and they would want to be committed back to us. We would draw people into the fellowship because of our desire to be devoted to one another. As we see somebody we've never met before that we discover is a believer in Christ, don't we want to make them a part of this body? We don't want to shove a card under their nose and say, if you want to be a part, you've got to sign this card. The point is that we want our family to grow because of their commitment to one another, not because of filling out a card.
That's our best shot at the filling out the card part. It's messy, just like I talked about. It's not perfect. Yeah, I think that, the question is, one of the reasons we moved towards the idea of identification or whatever is because the ability to know who one another is was broken. Are there other things, are there other one another things we're doing that we weren't doing well? Is that another reason why we moved towards this? Is that restated accurately? I said... Yeah, well, I'd say the primary reason we did it is because we saw in the Scripture this level of community and commitment in the local church. We saw that in the Scripture, and we said, how do we move towards that as best we can in our context? How can we obey those passages? How can we become like that? And I think that everything has come out of that understanding, that review of those Scriptures and things. So I would say, on the one hand, yeah, we haven't done a very good job of as new people have come in, of making them feel welcome and things like that. But I don't think that wasn't a primary motivation towards moving to this. I think the is that
seeking the will of God is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Right. Now I think that will be a result. I think a result will be that we'll become a lot better at recognizing people when they come in. And being welcoming them and wanting to fold them into the body. I think that'll be a result. But the motivation was, as we looked at the Scripture, like I said in the message, there was elders, there was deacons, and then there was everybody else. And how did they work together to create the church to be the way it is? And this is what we saw. So
I want to just clarify, this whole concept is not a rebuke because something is broken. Let me just share this verse. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. In other words, it's not a rebuke that we're not doing it. It's an encouragement that as we already are doing it. It was a wonderful time of fellowship outside. As we already are doing it, Paul and I say the same thing. We want to excel at that. We want to do more of that. We want to be more connected than we've been before. So that's kind of the heart of the elders.
Does that answer your question? Bob?
Yeah. Hey, Rob, I think, the thing that occurred to my mind when you brought the card up was, how inventive the whole process of church leadership really is. I mean, there's nothing cut and dried. We have qualifications for people that God wants to see, for people that are in charge of the well-being of our souls and teaching and stuff. But as far as the general conduct of the body, we have a lot of latitude. And there's a lot of revelatory process and people in prayer and consideration. I was thinking about the verse in Hebrews 10 to consider ways to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And I think, it's not wrong to, we have this natural inclination away sometimes from, that kind of involvement in messy things, and it is a messy thing. I've been in the church a long time, just different churches, and it's very messy, and you are required to give of yourself more than you'd like to, for me, probably more than I want you, when I do it, because, it's the right thing to do, and God changes your heart. So I think that it is a good consideration. I'm personally very encouraged by it, because it is a way that we can encourage one another to love and good deeds, to know, hey, we're getting outside of our comfort zone, I'm making a formal, hey, it's a minor thing, but it's something I'm naturally inclined maybe away from a little, but I'm going to sign this thing, I'm going to give it to somebody, and as for me, at some point, I would like to know that people that begin to become more involved in the church, who have more of a ministerial leadership role, are prayerfully considering what to do, are really involved, giving their time, maybe coming up with ideas that everyone is going to have to, consider themselves, to be in submission to the leadership in that way. I want to know if somebody made a formal commitment in some way. So, if somebody said, he filled out that card, hey, that's fine with me. I want to know, this isn't just somebody that said, that's just trying to go as far as they can, and then they get disenchanted and leave. I want to say, look, there was a covenant of some sort that was made at one point where you made a commitment to this body. So is that important to you? And so, anyway, I'm very much in favor of it, and I think it is it's a creative way, maybe necessary, maybe not necessary in some ways, but I think it's a good thing. So.
Well, you know, one of the things I thought of in the whole thing was, you know, if you look at our bylaws when we talk about elders, one of the things that we do as elders and leaders is we're always looking for who is manifesting kind of the gifts of leadership and the gifts of shepherding and the gifts of pastoring in the church. Who's already elding? And that's how we kind of identify, you know, we don't, you know, that's how we identify people that we want to approach and say, hey, have you ever considered serving in the role of elder? Because they're already doing it. And I think that what we're talking about is kind of like membering. You know, a lot of you guys are already doing this. You're already membering. Now, when elders, we do, there is a time when we have them up front and we acknowledge their gifts and we acknowledge their calling, we acknowledge their qualification in some kind of formal way before the church. And so, you know, I think when we recognize that people are already membering, that's the important part. The other part is just acknowledgement of what's already there. And in this case, we're talking about acknowledging it through a card. Or maybe there's other ways you could do it. But that's kind of the direction we're going right now.
So, sometimes there's the thought that the reason that you become a member of a church is for the church's benefit. In other words, we want you to join because we want to benefit from you. Well, that's not an absolute fallacy, but one of the most important reasons that you become connected to the body of Christ is for your benefit. Because what the key is, if you look at the body, our human body that Christ or that Paul uses as a representation of the church, if you cut off a hand, it dies. It the rest of the body may function. It may hemorrhage a little bit, but it dies. But if you cut yourself off from the body, you're the part that dies. It goes away. And so the point is that we connect with one another, and the reason that we want to do this is so that not only do we know, but it's for your benefit to become a part of us. So we clearly know who you are, so we can go rescue if there's needed be. It's not for the purpose of so that we can discipline or anything else. That's not, or we can get your money. That's the farthest thing from our mind. We want to see the body of Christ in all of its parts work in a wonderful and designed way that God has done it. And that's our heart.
You want to jump into any of this, Brian? I mean, feel free. Alex, you had a question. And so the question is, how does it affect the college folks who are away and maybe only get to visit periodically throughout the year?
Or missionaries.
Yeah. Well, what we'll do is we'll give you a supply of donation. Of you can mail these in every week, whether you're here or not. You know, I don't know, I'll give these guys the opportunity. That doesn't affect anything. You know, there's various times and various seasons in your life. I think it's important for people to have a church that they call their home. Now, if your situation is you're away at college and this is still your church home, that's a season that you're going through, and we're committed to you as we would be as if you were here every week.
Aaron and Natalie is a good example.
Aaron and Natalie, you know, you're getting ready to go out on the mission field. Ben and Ruth, right? How many of you guys received the email about Ruth's sister having terminal brain cancer this week? And, you know, it says when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. I mean, they're in Indonesia, right? They never come here. But they're just as much a part of the body as someone who's here every week. So I don't know if you guys want to add anything to that, but in my mind, it doesn't affect anything at all.
I agree.
We have that understanding that we're part of the body together. You know, there's not some other church somewhere else that is your home church.
Once again, that's a good example of us knowing that that's your heart. If you're not here all the time, it's hard to know that that's your heart. So this is a great way to say, this is my church. I'm at school, but this is my church, and I want to be informed. I want to know what's going on. I want to share with you what's going on. Actually, you know, email's a wonderful tool.
Ask our missionaries, you know, I ask them to tell me, do you consider us to be your sending church? And if they say yes, you know, yeah, because sometimes there are two people coming from different churches and stuff like that, but if we're their sending church, we have a particular responsibility, I think, to them. And, you know, and it's mutual, but I think I want to know that. I want them to be able to tell me that. So, yeah, anything to add to that?
Yeah, maybe. Questions, though, right there. Charlotte.
I just want to make a comment on the college, because this might be a really old-fashioned idea, but I
Yeah.
Mm. Or if you have a regular attender, don't feel like you have to get the offering. Or you know, I don't know. That, so it's a different thing. This is not the the usual, the way it is everywhere else.
Yeah.
There's no connection. There's no real. I know. I miss the belonging thought.
You mean like get formalized?
Well, that's what you mean. Just knowing this is my church. I belong to this church. Would you like to come to me?
Yeah.
Know, I'm feeling like it's yours and you belong to it. It's like a family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that that's one of the reasons that we're having this time right now is to talk about that's a very important thing. The idea of connecting and belonging is extremely important, and I believe that the Bible is very clear on that, that we need to connect in such a way that we can't just be, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't ever really have to connect to anybody else. That is not a biblical concept. In fact, it's as we just shared, we're self-important. We have all the answers. We don't need anybody else. That's wrong. So connecting with one another, and that's why we want to do this, is for that very reason, the idea of belonging. Being part of a family, it's difficult. There's discipline involved. There's joy involved. There's laughter. There's all sorts of things in a family. And there's times that you fight like cats and dogs, but are you still family when you're done? Absolutely. And that's what we want to be. Yeah.
We have about 5 more minutes. Brian.
Brian, you pick the next one. Steve?
Not a fan of rules.
The question was, will there be will the card or membership be required for to be involved in ministry? And secondly, will there be a list that's maintained? And if you leave, will there be an exit? So?
I'm out of here.
Oh, taking off the membership list. So, who wants to answer? This is related to the question that you asked earlier, I think. About involvement in ministry. I think that Randy's already expressed it, but I think that we are going to do everything we can to avoid making it about the list. How that practically works out, I think, is challenging. That's why I said in the message, how do we avoid going from the cultural relationship of love to the bureaucratic relationship of lists? I'm not sure we have the perfect answer for that at this time, but we're going to do everything we can to resist it. When you ask about somebody being involved in a ministry that isn't a member, I think probably the conversation is just going to be what Randy shared earlier. Just to sit down and actually find out from the person where you're coming from, what's the issue exactly that's involved, and having that relationship, having that conversation, and as opposed to saying, okay, there's this rule, you have to be this in order to have that. So I don't know if there would be a hard and fast statement that I could make about that. And then as far as the leaving part, I think that that Charlotte was just talking about how the transfer of membership from one to another. I think that would vary depending on what the person's situation is. You know, maybe you're going to another place and you're checking out another church and you want to become involved there and you want, hey, well, the elders write me a little note to say this person was a participant in our church and was involved and that kind of thing. If that would be helpful to someone because of the environment they're going into, sure. But I don't think we have any, we've never even talked about having some kind of a procedure for that.
When we talk about love being without hypocrisy, when we talk about when to love one another without pretending to love one another, the minute you start talking about lists, that's what I think about, is that we now have put a crutch in there that says, okay, now we've created a list, and now somehow I'm a part of this. That's the danger of it. What I want is that we, what I think all of us desire, is that we love one another in such a way that we are completely devoted to one another, that we encourage one another, and we pray for one another. We're involved in each other's lives. There's that kind of connectivity to the point where we know each other so well we don't even need a card. It's a starting place for us to say, let's really put an effort in, let's really put our hearts toward the person that we don't know very well, to invite them into our lives and say, you are important to me and I am important to you, and we need each other. And that's the beginning point. That's one of the reasons that the card has been the conversation, and it's the last thing we wanted it to be about. But it's about us being a part of each other in such a way that we love each other without hypocrisy. It is that kind of connectivity.
Just my thoughts consolidated is, you mentioned earlier that, you know, Azeech is appointed a spiritual gift. Azeech has been appointed a measure of faith. And we can apply that individually, but as a church, we need to support the elders and the deacons in prayer. You guys have made a decision about a car. There's going to be people that want a car, there's going to be people that don't want a car. The body of the need to support the deacons and the elders in their decisions, regardless how we feel about a car, because the car is not the issue. Don't let a car be an issue. Try to achieve your goal is just to be unified in what we do, not let this unification process cause division.
Yeah, well stated.
You know, and I think the within that atmosphere, you know, should be continuing conversation. Somebody has an issue with the whole idea of a car, let's keep talking about it. You know? Let's have that kind of care for each other, that just an ongoing conversation. Okay.
But then because I have a card, I signed my name and my address, a letter came to me said that Pastor John is already on a web way for her. Why am I involved in this church? And so I prayed and God said, you are placed in this church. So I worship here because I have only to walk. I don't have a car, I don't know how to drive. And every time I had to share Jesus, I said, go to the church. This morning, I have a Filipina a visitor here, and I said, you come here, and you bring your family here.
Mm.
Yeah. So because of that card, I was contacted. Mm. And I said, I have to stay in this church if I am here in America. If I be in the Philippines, then I can invite you to the Philippines.
That's neat.
Okay, well, we need to... did you have a question, Dave? Or are you saying... Can we... Okay. Have to be out of here, off the school grounds, I think by 2 o'clock. So we have a lot of cleanup to do.
Customers, we're going to go here for a while as long as it's good, and then when it's not so good, we're going to go somewhere else. it's like another sacrament. It's a sacrament of marriage. You know, you ask somebody that's been married and somebody that's maybe cohabitated with somebody, there's a big difference. Because they can choose to leave if you're not married. There's a commitment to that. And for that reason, I'm in support of this. And I thank you guys for dealing with this very thoughtfully and the approach that you have. And I thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. You want to pray for us and finish there?
Thanks, Jeff. I'm silent usually.
We'll just hang out here, Dave, and you can come up and ask us.
Yeah, we can take more questions later. But for me, the whole thing that we came up with is just a mechanism for how you can communicate to us that you want to identify with us so we can identify with you. Just think of it as that way. It's just a mechanism for communication. Think about the Packers fans. You know, talked about a huddle earlier. And the Packers fans all wear cheese on their head. It's clear who they've identified in the game. I know Marcelo's fond of the Rams, and they always wear a frown on their face. They've clearly identified with the Rams. So, sorry, Marcelo.
There will be a dessert.
Have I lost myself? They're disgruntled Rams fan. There will be dessert, but you need to get your children from the child care. Temecula Creek is watching them, and we need to relieve them of your children. So get your children, get the dessert, stay and do some more one another with each other. And is that it, Rob? We'll be available to talk. And hey, another mechanism of communicating is, you don't like that card, just talk to us, okay? God bless you.